Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life here on UK Health Radio. Before we get into today's conversation, I want to share something I'm really looking forward to. On October the 5th at 3 p.m. UK time, I'll be hosting the next Awaken and Align Masterclass, and I'd love for you to join me. The session is all about going deeper into the emotional side of life with a stoma. We'll be exploring self-image, emotional boundaries, and the small but powerful daily habits that support long-term well-being. It's not about quick fixes or toxic positivity. It's a grounded, reflective space where we meet ourselves honestly without pressure. Whether you're newly navigating stoma life or have been living with one for years, this masterclass is designed to help you reconnect with who you are beyond your medical journey. You'll leave with some practical tools, new perspectives, and hopefully a sense that you're not doing this alone. It's completely free, and you can sign up through my website, stomaforlife.com. That's stomaforlife.com. So yeah, I hope to see you there. And if you are listening after that date, please don't worry. I run this session 4 times a year. So there will always be another opportunity for you to join in. Just subscribe to my newsletter to stay in the loop. And while you're at it, come find me on social media, where I share regular updates and resources and a bit about the behind the scenes of what living with a stoma really looks like. Now, if you're wondering what to expect in the masterclass, this past one was quite small. It was an intimate group, which actually made it feel really special. We explored some of the emotional weight that often comes with life after surgery, and we focused on 3 guiding themes that I also use in my coaching work. Now, clarity through acceptance, that's learning to let go of resistance and to meet yourself where you are. Energy through intention, paying attention to how we use our energy and protecting it as well. And lastly, we spoke about purpose through presence, finding meaning beyond your diagnosis and making space for who you are now. As a thank you to everybody who joined, they received a 14-day reflection journal, my 10 life hacks for ostomates ebook, and a guided meditation, tools you can come back to time again and again. Now, just before we move on, if you're enjoying this show, Stoma for Life, I would really appreciate it if you could leave a comment on the UK Health Radio podcast section and give us a rating. And while you're at it, please do the same for UK Health Radio itself. I'm really proud to be part of this incredible lineup. They're broadcasting 24/7 with shows on all aspects of health like nutrition, sleep, cancer, sobriety, health tech, the environment. There is just so much more. Whatever you're dealing with, you'll probably find a show that speaks to you on UK Health Radio. Now, let's get on to today's episode. We'll be talking about what it means to live with a stoma in the context of a rare congenital condition called bladder extrophy. Now, this is a complex condition that often involves multiple surgeries and, yes, also living with a stoma. But more than that, it's about resilience, self-advocacy, and a building of community around a condition that many have never heard of before. Now, my guest today is Thomas Exler. He is a powerful voice and advocate in the space. He is the founder and chairman of Courage to Shine, vice president of the Association for the Bladder Extrophy Community, and secretary of the board for Jamie's Dream Team. Through his work, Thomas is helping others feel seen, supported, and empowered to tell their stories. We'll be back shortly after the commercial break with Thomas Exler. So don't go away.
The station that makes you feel good. If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. As I mentioned before the break, I'm joined today by Thomas Exler. Now, Thomas was born with bladder extrophy, which is a rare congenital condition, and has dedicated much of his life to raising awareness and supporting others in the community. Through his advocacy and leadership, he's helped build platforms where people living with a rare and complex condition can share their stories and be recognized not just for what they've been through, but for the strength and the resilience they continue to show every day. I am truly honored to have him on the show today. Welcome to Stoma for Life, Thomas Exler.
Thank you for having me, Raphael. And this has been a great experience to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, obviously, to start off for our listeners, I would like, for those that are not familiar with the condition, for you to perhaps explain what bladder extrophy is, and then perhaps take us back to your earliest memories of living with it. What stands out to you most about those early experiences, whether they're physical, emotional, or socially?
Bladder extrophy is a congenital birth defect. It usually involves just the bladder. The bladder is born on the outside of birth. So your midline is open, and the bladder is on the outside of birth. It can involve the other organs also and be considered colloquial extrophy, which involves the intestines and the female organs if it's female in this case. But it's my earliest memories was my mother founding an organization for ostomies. And it was called the Children's Tri-State Ostomy Association in Pittsburgh. That organization actually had 600 members when it was in its heyday back in probably in the early 70s. So she founded it in 1969 and it lasted to 82. But the idea of that organization had me grow up with kids who had spina bifida, Hirschsprung's disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, and then all the birth defects. It could be Vater syndrome, vagal syndrome, or extrophy. So we had multiple kids in different disorder. So I looked to learn whatever from those kids, what was really, they were handling it worse than I was. But because of my mother, I actually was able to live with it in a different perspective.
Yeah. So your mother actually founded this organization.
Right. My mother was an RN at the time. She was a nurse. Mm-hmm. And with my surgeon, Dr. Sukachana, they founded this organization.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, well done to your mom for doing that, because obviously it was something that was desperately needed. And for you, I think just such a great way to actually be part of the actual process and to see how other people live with rare conditions.
Correct. And then I grew up and worked at the hospital with patients that needed this situation, because the ET nurse at the Children's Hospital here asked me to go with them on all their trips. So they would get a whole bunch of kids and do that. So when I became like 25, I started doing the youth rally, the national youth rally in the United States, and did that between for another 12 years.
I'm just putting myself in first of all your mom's shoes because of having started something like this, which I'm sure was desperately needed because there was nothing like that out there.
No, and it was before the internet. So these people, they needed someone to reach out, and that's why it became 600 people by email, and by not by email, by writing. And the letters were just amazing at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure that got you to understand your condition from a very early age, because I know a lot of children that grow up with a rare condition, they're full of questions because they don't have anywhere to actually, except perhaps obviously their family to turn to. But you grew up in an environment where this was common knowledge to you right from the onset.
Right. And one of the things my mother did was that she went on TV when I was five and talked about it. And so I actually had these old ladies come up to me till I was in 20s and 30s, going, "Is your brother doing okay? Is your brother doing okay? Because he had that kidney problem." Meaning it was me. But I was like, "Yeah, my brother was fine. He also had a kidney problem, but he was fine." And my brother did have a kidney problem. So things happen. People actually, it's okay to be able to tell everyone you're okay.
I'm sure you felt like other children or young adults, you felt more seen and understood than those that weren't in this community, because I think that's an important aspect to be actually understood. Which is quite difficult.
Correct. It is very difficult. And these kids that are growing up with it, you just have to understand how you're dealing with it. And it's not just extra feet, it can be anything, any disease.
Well, you mentioned Hirschsprung's disease or Crohn's disease, it's just so
But
multi.
multiple many other diseases.
And I'm sure, having gone through all this, I mean, I'm not sure. I know that this has shaped you and also the path that you went on to do, because you do a lot of advocacy work. You share your work publicly as well. Was there a pivotal moment when that actually started? Hey, I've got to talk about this openly, or was it just a natural thing because your mom spoke openly about it?
They say it was natural. There is a couple of key things, but there's multiple key things. I can look at a point, but there's multiple things. I mean, I can look at was one kid at the rally and another kid there and an adult there. But so there's a lot of things that got me talking about it, because I have to do work for them and help them out.
Wow. But not everybody thinks like that, Thomas. That's actually quite unique, that you see yourself as somebody that has to speak out for them.
Correct. And truthfully, that's for these people. I just need to help them. Don't worry, they help me in a lot of ways. A lot of ways. If you just talk to someone who is dealing with a problem and just listen to them, they'll be able to teach you a lot of things about life. And especially when I work with the, I do, I'm on the board of Jamie's Dream Team. And we deal with a lot of kids with life-threatening illnesses. And if you sit down and talk to those kids and talk to the adults that have been through it, their idea of dealing with the problem is far better than your idea of dealing with the problem.
Because one never asks the question. That's what I gather, because a lot of people don't ask the question and then they've got this preconceived idea of what it would be like. But you're telling us, have that dialogue, have that open conversation, ask the question.
Right, or just listen. Just listen. It's Phenomenal. I can tell you, kids with intestinal no, sorry, tra intestinal transplants, they like to cook, but can't eat it. Okay, they watch cooking shows continuously, but won't be able to eat.
Wow.
And they do that for years. It's mind-boggling, but still, those kids are amazing.
I think we can learn a lot by listening.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes, you
absolutely.
can. Yes, you can.
Yeah. So just tell us more about this project, because I know you've done some incredible leadership roles in the community, and Jamie's dream team is obviously one of them. Perhaps just share with us what this is all about.
Jamie was his young lady, and she was born with Vater syndrome or Vater syndrome. And she was a multiple birth defect and involves her most of her intestines, urinary, her esophagus, her renal gland, well, it's kidneys, but still, her issues were overcoming her. And when she wanted to become 15 years old, she developed this organization because she was not she didn't think she was going to survive a surgery, and told her grandmother she was going to come out and help kids, and she did that at 18 and started helping kids. And I met her at 22, and it was just an accident why I met her. And I said, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to help the organization, because I never heard of the organization at the time, and I ended up helping her. And a year later, I was on the board of Jamie's Dream Team. And since then, she claims 30,000 dreams she's done in the last 20 years.
How many? 3,000.
30,000.
30,000.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she was just on a t national TV show in the US. So she's an amazing young lady.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the way I understand it is dreams of terminally ill patients, or also patients with a debilitating disease.
Right, debilitating disease. It's mostly terminal illnesses, but it can be. She has a couple of different programs that involve other different diseases.
Yeah.
So, but those are limited to individual programs.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's just the impact you and she are making on the scale of, well, we can only imagine for some of these kids, because I think we can learn so much from, like you said, just by listening. And also, I think children, they seem to see it not as complex as us adults. They see it more for what it is, where adults have so many other things to think about.
I think, in a way, you look at the adults as it's not that they're not thinking other things. They're not thinking what the kid's thinking, and they're facing real life challenges, real life challenges. It's anything I've been through or you've been through is only one tenth of what they're facing. So.
Sorry, I'm just a little taken aback because, obviously you hear a lot of the stories, and you're making a difference to a young person's life, lasting effect for their family also to remember and cherish those memories long after they're gone as well, because
Correct.
it's not just about them, obviously, at that moment, yes, but it's also for the families.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So let's just turn to bladder extrophy again, because I'd like to know, what are some of the most common misconceptions that people still have about this? And also living with a stoma, we are on Stoma for Life. So just share with us.
Well, I'll say with extrophy itself, the main problem is because it happens at birth. Mm-hmm. People do not understand the birth defect. And they will never understand it.
Yeah.
It's because it's more of a like a bell curve or a spectrum. You know, the majority will be bladder extrophy in the middle, but they go all the way up to epispadias, which is the slit in the penis, mm-hmm. all the way to cloacal extrophy, which involves all your abdominal organs, including ostomies, including intestinal and urinaries. Intestinal issues, because you already have the urinary issue, but you have intestinal issues. But so it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
So you can fall anywhere on that spectrum. So it's kind of, you have to understand it to understand it. Mm-hmm. And people, there's no real misconception, because it's very hard to understand. Now, when you're talking about a urostomy or a colostomy, of course, the stomas, people have that idea what's going to happen. We know I don't want that smelly thing. Usually that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that saved my life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to apologize to anyone for saving my life. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to speak. And anyone who gets upset because they have this, you got to look about your life. When I was born, when I had extrophy, the reason I have a urostomy today has to do with the time I had it done. It was way back in 1969. At that time, I ended up losing my bladder and ended up with the ileoconduit urostomy. Today, they can reform the bladder, do a bladder augmentation or some sort like that, and be able to catheterize at the very worst.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an internal pouch.
Mm-hmm.
They're adults now too. They're going and can have to catheterize every 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, It's very hard about doing that. Well, it's more than 4 times a day. What am I talking about? 6. But it's very, very difficult with your catheterization. It's the same as people with the ostomy itself. You know, I all the people listening to this, I would, you know, have to say, there's different ways you can do things. Different ideas. Don't be settled on one different product. Look for the other products. Look for the best for you. Everything's individualized. So it's because it works for you doesn't mean it works for me.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a very valid point, because I've had guests on the show that only years down the line did they actually know that they could choose a different product. And the one person I interviewed, she'd been given the wrong product right from the start. So she struggled for years before she actually realized, this is not the correct product for me. So In a lot of ways, we actually have to speak up for ourselves. We have to advocate for ourselves. And it's thanks to people also like yourself that speak out and actually educate the community that people will find out about it, that there are choices, like we've just discovered, like you've just said. There are options, and there's no one size fits all.
Correct. And just to, when I first had an ostomy, they would just use this glue that would be on the plate, and it was actually a reusable product.
Wow.
And that was done until probably late 70s. And I moved into another product, and I've continuously moved because sometimes it'll work for 10, 15 years, then it won't work any longer. So it doesn't make no, so even if people that say this is what I use and that's the way it should be, that's not the best product for that person. That person needs to find the best product for them.
This is what I often say on the show as well, because people should not compare yourself to others. If like I said, if one thing, or like you said as well, if one thing works for one person, it doesn't necessarily have to work for the other. And I think if you start comparing, you're not in a good place, because you forever want to get to that level, and you might not because of some other issues. So let me just talk to you about, obviously you've lived with this for your whole life. How do you personally care for your emotional and mental well-being? Because you're supporting so many others, but what about yourself?
It's a good question. I've always tried to stay up on the upper curve. The biggest part, my biggest downfall was when I had my stroke, and I had my stroke at 48, and that was a very difficult situation, but I overcame it. And so do I really need to see an extra psychologist? Of course. I'm going to see one this weekend. Maybe my friends.
But that would have been my question. Now, you overcome it, but I mean, there's so much between the actual it's happened to me and I've overcome it. There's so much in between that space, and that's what obviously interests our listeners as well, because a lot of
Right.
them are faced with that.
Right. It's seriously, I've had this for so long. I don't think, I mean, there was days that I could actually say, yeah, why me? Why do you say why me? All you have, why me? But I know now why it was me. And I think that's really satisfying that I know that I was put on this planet to be able to help other people.
That's actually purpose, finding your purpose through, because purpose is such an important aspect of life. And a lot of people never ever find their purpose. Some find it very early on in life, and some find it through, be it a disease, an accident, or some other trauma. And some find it through yourself having grown up with something like that. But I think purpose is such a broad spectrum, and it doesn't always have to be a big thing. I mean, you're doing a global thing. This is really big scale. But for those people listening, it can also be just a small thing where you can find purpose. It doesn't always have to be the big thing. It can be finding purpose in pottery, purpose in journaling, or yes, in my case, finding purpose in sharing it on a radio
The
show.
radio show. It's everyone has their own purpose. This has just happened to be mine, and it's become more than I can handle then. So it's actually a lot of stuff that comes up all the time. And it's more money, more than I can financially support sometimes.
I just want to take us through, this is all also about visibility. and dignity, obviously. What would you say does true visibility look like for people living with a rare condition? Because we've already said, it looks different for everyone, but could you
Right.
define it for the listeners?
Well, it depends on what kind of visibility you're talking about. You're talking about the everyday visibility? That could be, it can become a hidden issue. I mean, it's like any other ostomies. It can become hidden. And very few people will actually talk about it. And truthfully, if you came to me and talked about it, I wouldn't even be able to talk to you about it because it wouldn't be a part of the daily conversation.
Yes, because we often, I mean, I've said this multiple times, there are so many ostomates out there, but we might have walked past them and we don't know because we don't all, it's not on written on our forehead, and if
Well,
you
if it's written on your forehead, there's an issue.
Exactly, but we are at a moment in time where a lot of the younger people choose to show their bag openly.
Correct.
I'm not part of that group. I talk about it openly because there's no taboos on my show. We talk about everything on the show, but I don't share or I don't show my bag change or my bag. I leave it to the younger generation to do that, but I feel they've also got their place because they make it easier for others to deal with that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts originally is because I came from the era, because I was younger than the era that you didn't show it at all, and that's the way I looked at respect. However, the first person did show it was Jessica Groshaw up in from Canada. I think Groshaw. I'm not sure. Grossman, but her. When she first showed it, I first got to meet her about a year or so after she first went on. And I was like, so you want to show it? That's fine. Go for it. It's okay. I don't care. But, and I didn't care for her. She was a nice person. She was talking to me and she was doing good. So it all depends on who they are. It's the whole thing. If they do it, it should make everything in the society. Just understand this is a disability and it's going to be handled in different ways by different people. It's also a spectrum. People handle things in a different way.
So actually what it boils down to is also being tolerant, obviously. You've just said that. And also for the individual, it's okay either way you do it. It's okay. We don't do this. I'm doing this show for ostomers or people that know somebody living in an ostomy, and obviously they are the ones that will listen to us talking about it.
I'm more of an all-encompassing group. And when you bring everyone into the big picture, there's going to be people that disagree. However, you have to agree on the central core. And that's why with the versus Extra Feet Association, the Association of Bladder Extra Feet Children that I'm also VP of, the only problem about when we have those conferences, it's to me, it's sometimes consuming that you're talking about with this one disease versus everyone in a group. Because I'm more of a group person than an individual disease.
I know you go to a lot of conferences. I mean, you do a lot of advocacy work. Can you just talk us through what something like that would look like? I know you're off to Boston today. So,
Yes.
what would something like that look like on a conference?
Well, it depends on if it gets bigger. It depends if it's UOA or United Ostomy Association of America, or if it's Extra Feet, or if it's the pull-through network, or because they're all different concepts, but they're all work the same way. You come there, you're a group of people. You always have people that are afraid when they're coming. They don't know why they're there. And after a few medical sessions or even group sessions where you can talk to each other, those people will start opening up and feeling that they belong. And it doesn't really matter what the organization it is and what's the disease, what's the issue. It doesn't even matter if it's ulcerative colitis or Crohn's. Those organizations will have the same issue. They come about because then they went to the stomas. And even when you move around, it's stomas will may be the core of your group that might be hearing this, but they can go to all these organizations and get a similar response.
And I suppose the sense of community as well, because it's
correct. That comes later.
Yeah.
You don't get community until you actually can be able to get involved.
Yeah. But
you have to be involved first.
Yes. Yeah, of course. But I mean, that's the stepping stone of getting involved.
Right.
Now, let's talk healthcare systems, because I live in the UK. Our listeners are from all over the world.
Yeah.
In terms of healthcare systems, what's the one thing you would change, or that if you could change it, their approach to rare conditions? What would that be?
That's always the going to cost you money there. it's always the hard thing, because people are saying it's from the healthcare system. When you're looking, it says the one thing I'll tell you about from rare diseases. They say rare diseases may be uncommon. I mean, to have the individual disease may be uncommon, but to have a rare disease is common. So rare diseases are not common. They're actually majority of the cases, but the individual disease is rare.
Yeah.
So when you're going to solve one disease, there'll be a lot of money, a lot of areas you need to do. So one good thing is, like, here in the United States, they like to do centers of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And the just a bladder extrophy group, we have, I think there's 10 U.S. bladder extrophy centers. There's one going to be in Europe, and there's one in India.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because India, we do a mission there each year, and that hospital became the center of excellence because they bring 20 to 30 doctors from around the world there.
To actually work on the children there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and versus in the U.S., each surgeon, for example, would do about 5 to 10 cases a year.
Mm-hmm.
In India, in 1 week, they do 1,100 cases.
Oh wow! So there's so much need for that.
Well, the kids have actually, they got them to come to the hospital in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not involved in that. That one yet, but the president of the organization is involved in that,
yeah,
and she deals with that. So when you look at kids, when you look at that perspective, they all came to that hospital and did that. Well, that may be the solution for in the U.S. and around the world. And here in the U.S., Wisconsin Children's, Boston Children's, and Philadelphia Children's.
Mm-hmm.
They work as a consortium. So whenever there's a patient in one of those hospitals, the other surgeons will fly in and help out that surgeon with that patient. So it's actually, because of that, it's actually made leap forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to do that for all the different rare diseases, it would cost a lot of money. And you'd have to be committed to a lot of money. And those things, however, that the consortium idea would work for all the different diseases. Now, that's the same perspective where you had the consortium in India, where they all fly in.
Yeah.
So from around the world. And they come from Europe and from the US, from Canada, and do it that way.
Brilliant. I mean, I've known this through family members who have dealt with children that have clefts and things like that.
Yeah.
I know about that with
smile.
Exactly. And
yeah.
such brilliant work that they do. If my listeners want to support anything like that or get hold of somebody that works in that sector, who could they turn to if they themselves have been exposed to somebody with bladder extrophy? What would they have to do? How can they reach?
Bladder extrophy, they can go to the Association of Bladder Extrophy Community, which mm-hmm. is bladderextrophy.com. And that organization, which is, I'm also VP of it, will be able to help them support it. If they want to support one of those missions, either there or to Uganda, they can do it individually targeted for those missions. So that would be one way. Another issue would be when you're doing it, they could call any organization in the UK that does that kind of work, mm-hmm. or forget about does any kind of special needs work. Because really, I think all the organizations need to find the money to be able to do this kind of stuff, and for be able to find the contacts to be able to do their work.
Now, you shared Jamie's dream team. Are there any other ways for people to actually follow you on social media or get hold of you?
The other organization I run is called Courage to Shine. It's courage-to-shine.org. And that is a organization which we feature people's articles who've done great things, who've actually grown up but before 12 had a major birth defect or major disease and can succeed in life. Mm-hmm. And they write their own article. I have about 50 people on there right now. There is another part of that called the Courage to Shine Award, which I will be given at this weekend. And it's for people that have had extrophy. And that one's for great individuals who became good role models. Because I wanted the reason I started this organization was because when it was 2009 and we were at our conference and there was very bitter adults and they were bitter because of everything they'd been through. I said, there wasn't anything I could do for them, but I'm going to make sure that the next generation won't have the same issues as they do, saying they're the only one in the world. I'm going to have people online let them tell their story, let them be the role models for the next generation.
And
that's why I created the Courage to Shine, and since then people have actually wrote me to be other people and to be other individuals. I have a lady with Vodder syndrome, which is similar to Jamie, who's actually a model. And she was a model in Europe, and she runs a thing in Australia. She's a great person. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who had epilepsy mm-hmm. on there.
Yeah.
So there's many different than just extrophy. So I encourage everyone to go through it. That was courage-to-shine.org.
Excellent. We're almost at the end of the show. Now, if somebody listening today feels perhaps isolated, ashamed, or unsure how to move on forward with their own condition, what would you want them to hear right now from you? Because, I mean, you've touched so many things, but this, I think, just perhaps brings it into a nutshell once more.
Well, you know, I would actually... You know, I'll tell you my three quotes I have been quoted. And one is, you've been given many gifts in your life. It's not what you do with it. It's how the gifts you've actually given, how you've actually created them. And another would be, don't have this let it bother you that much that you won't go reach out for help. Help is near, help is around, just you have to reach. And it takes the you know, we can't lead a horse to water.
Mm. Yeah.
And all these people, but they already led, have been able to communicate with you by on the radio. So if they communicate with you on radio, there's no reason they can't find help for themselves.
And it's so reassuring to know that help is out there, that organizations like the ones that you are part of are out there to help not just the children, but also the families. Because I think one often forgets for every child that has been diagnosed, there are family members that are lost, completely lost out there, and they need help as well.
Correct. And sometimes I think they actually need more help, because I think when all these procedures may have been issued the kid dealing with it, but I think the parent needs to deal with it more.
They sometimes have not just that child, other children that are older that have to be looked
Correct.
after as well.
Correct. And I believe those kids, because those kids can actually, it's hard for their brother or sister in the hospital. They don't understand it totally. I've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times. They don't not understand it. So it's actually good for them and good for the entire family. And that's why we have events for the entire family when they come to the conference. It's not just for the individual itself, because it could be for the older kids. They'll go have a rap session somewhere. So, and that's actually good.
And obviously, the parents will meet other parents that have gone.
Correct. Which is the main thing right there. It's really for the parents. If they don't come, if they can't come meet people and actually understand what they're dealing with, then it's kind of hard for the kids. And it's just so you say, a lot of the stuff I'm saying is generalizations, because it could be multiple organizations.
Of course.
But I think if the parents can't handle it, then the kid's never going to be able to handle it. It's the same way back to my mother, why she started that organization years ago. She started it so she could ha get through everything, and she became the person helping everyone get through everything.
Well,
And
that was her calling, her purpose.
yeah, yes.
Thomas, I don't know if there's anything more you would like to share with my listeners.
Well, if you need to get a hold of me, you can contact me through Facebook at Thomas Exler, or through LinkedIn at Thomas Exler also, and through Instagram at Exler.Thomas. And you can look me up anyway there, or email me through txlertcourageshine.to.shine.org.
Thank you so much, Thomas. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you on behalf of the whole community of what you do, because it's through people like yourself that the conversation is first really opened, and that people with rare conditions and with disabilities that are not understood by the broader public actually have a place to turn to. So thank you so much, Thomas, for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. You take care and all the best.